turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 verse 5 and 6 as we continue in our study today. And 1 John 4 and 5 says here, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It says here, they are of the world. Who are they? If you read these two scriptures, there are three times he speaks on hearing. Hear them. Three times. And here the world does not hear the word of God. They are of the world, therefore they speak, they of the world, and the world heareth them. So the world heareth who? The false teachers. The world hears very good the false doctrines. But when it comes to the true doctrine of God, they don't hear. They don't get it. They don't hear. So the topic that I would give today is hearing, not the true gospel. Hearing, not the true gospel. As we saw last week in 1 John, we saw that he is, that is in us, that he is greater that is in us than he who is in the world. Now, as we flow in the same context, we see again the difference between the Christian and the unbeliever. Unbeliever is of the world, but the Christian is born of heaven. So John speaks to the people who are of the world, referring, of course, to the false teachers. If you remember, the main context is on this, is false teachings, false doctrines. If you remember that Christ is the light of the world, right? Christ is the light of the world. So Satan also, we saw, can transformed into a light of an angel. He's a good counterfeiter. Did Christ appointed apostles? Yes, Christ did appointed apostles, right? So Satan too has apostles. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 11:13. And so this makes, what does it lead to? Christ has a gospel. And who else has a gospel? Satan has a gospel. What do you see here? A good counterfeiting program. Christ has a gospel. Satan has a gospel too. And multitudes of people are deceived by the gospel of Satan. So when it comes to the root of the problem, where does the false Christians or the false teachers differ from the true Christianity? It is what? The heart of the issue is the gospel. Heart of the issue is the gospel. People are saved only by hearing the true gospel, because it is the power of salvation. It can bring a dead sinner to life. There is a false gospel. If there is Satan who is a good counterfeiter, there is a false gospel. And the Bible warns about this false gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 4. Apostle Paul said, becomes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well up with it. It's easy to receive another gospel. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. If you preach another gospel, many will follow that. It's a counterfeit gospel because it's so pleasing to the flesh. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, it talks about, again, on the false gospel. Galatians 1 6. Apostle Paul is saying here, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a what? To a different gospel. And then verse 8, he says, verse 7, he says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8 says, but even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached, to let him be accursed. The word there is the most powerful, the word accursed is anathema, meaning it's the most dangerous or it's a very scary Greek word, means that if any other person preach another gospel, let it be a divine curse from God. That's what it is. But the world hears this counterfeit gospel very good. The world will acknowledge the counterfeit gospel. The world will approve it because it's pleasing to the flesh. Because Satan knows scripture. The world, he uses the Bible. He knows scriptures. And he will twist the scriptures from the truth into error. Now, of course, we know that the church, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus said, the field is a world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Here we'll see the church is mixed. Okay, the world is, church has become worldly, so it's kind of mixed together. But one day God is going to separate the sheep and the goats. So, for us to know the counterfeit gospel, we need to know the true gospel first. If I give you $100, a counterfeit, which is exactly, looks like a true $100 bill, you will not know that it's a counterfeit. But if I take it to a banker and give, they will at once know, because they always handle money. So if you always handle the truth, you will know the error. So we need to know the true gospel first. And I know I have preached this before, but it's so important that we need to know it again. Because many times we come people on the street. Many times we come across other people who doesn't know the true gospel. Or even some people who say they're Christians, but they don't know the gospel. But we need to know what is the true gospel is. So I want you to pay good attention. I don't want your minds to go everywhere else and different places, and, you know, have good attention, as because this is really important. Of course, today the modern gospel has been presented to the sinner to solve their immediate problems. Right? Anybody have problems except Jesus? He'll take care of your problems. Immediately Jesus will come like Santa Claus. He will take all your problems away. He will take care of your practical needs. So you can have a good life on this earth. As a result, there is no true repentance. No holy living before God. They are looking for their selfish reasons to solve their problems. God is presented as a very loving person who will wink at people's sins and give bear hugs to everybody. That's not the God of the Bible. The good news has to do with the bad news. And the bad news is that the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. If there is no sin, there are no sinners, right? And if there are no sinners, you don't have to be saved, right? Saved from? Right? And if you don't have to be saved, there's no salvation, right? So salvation means what? Deliverance.
Saved from what? We need to be saved, delivered from what? From sin and the wrath of God that is going to come. Because the Bible says that we are saved from the wrath of God. And a lot of times we don't see how awesome, how majestic, how powerful, how holy God is. We have put God to our own level. And we treat God like our own level. And that is just like any other pagan deities, we treat our majestic holy God. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy understanding. And here, what happened today is, why there's so much sin, why there's so much worldliness, why there's no reverence to God, because there's no fear of God. The fear of God has gone. I'll tell you, if there's right this moment, if there's a great earthquake, people will wake up. First thing they remember is God. Just like what happened in New York. And we are living beautiful day, lot of sunshine, got a lot of food, got a job, got a house, we got clothes. What fear do I have? I got money in the bank. Everything is going so smoothly. I don't have any fear. Right? Wrong. Where is the fear? That's where we have... The reason is we don't see God as a holy, majestic, awesome God. We have been not taught that God is holy. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14, it says, Hebrews 12, 14, without holiness, nobody will see God. Without holiness, nobody will see God. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3, how the angels cried out when they saw the majesty of God, when the angels are worshipping day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." You want to see the glory? Don't go to Disneyland. It's not in Las Vegas. Where is it? It's God. God of heaven is infinitely holy. When man confronts the presence of God, we will tremble in our sins. And here we see that God is infinitely holy, and how Isaiah, the man of God, the prophet of God, the man who speaks the word of God, the man who is good in the nation, when he saw the holiness of God, what did he say? "Oh, I'm so blessed. I've seen the Lord." Did he say that? Of course not. He said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I live in the midst of unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King of the hosts." Here, like Isaiah, we think we are good. We think we are okay. Everything is going on fine. Things are working out okay. But when we confront with the holiness of God, we realize that we are unholy. We are unrighteous, full of pride, impure, prone to hypocrisy, and we are defiled. We deserve what? The judgment. The reason is why we don't have a fear of God, why we don't have a sense of holiness, is do we truly get into the Word of God in reverence? Or is it you get your Bible, look for your Bible on Sunday? Where is my Bible? can find it? Or is it the only day that you open the Bible and you just trust in me to give you, fill you with the spiritual food? You're trusting in pastor, or you're getting second-hand food. It's second-hand things. Why won't you go first-hand, straight to God? Why won't you? That's what it is, coming to the Word truly daily in the Word of God, in the Bible. And if you remember the Israelites, when God descended to Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, what did they say? They said, let not God speak to us. They trembled in fear and said, let not God speak to us, lest we may die. And the true gospel is, it shows that God is infinitely holy and we are unholy. And that in Adam, when God told Adam, the day you eat from the fruit, you shall, you know, that is, God told them not to eat. The day you eat or you touch it, you will surely die. Of course, Adam was righteous before God. He was created in the very image of God. Of course, Adam had free will to obey or disobey. But when Adam ate that fruit, what happened? He spiritually died. That's why Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says what? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered, and death through sin spread to who? To all men. Because who sinned? All sin. So we need to understand that sin is a heinous crime before God. When Adam revolted against God, he revolted against what? Against God's authority. And there was no reverence to God. He did not honor God's word. And is a man a sinner because he sins? Yes? No. Man is a sinner because he's a sinner. You don't have to sin to become a sinner. Right? Do you see that all the... We see, oh, look at those sinners, the thieves, the adults. Look at those people, the drug addicts, the murderers. They are sinners. What about you? We can see separate. These people are bad people, and these people are good people. No. David cried out, Psalm chapter 50, verse 5, surely I was sinful at what? At birth. So the message of the gospel is good news. For good people. Right? No. Message of the gospel is the good news for bad people. Because Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If the message of the gospel is for the good people, Jesus would have called, he came to the righteous. But he didn't say that. So the gospel is the good news for bad people. The gospel is for the sinners. How do you know that you're a sinner? How do you know when you go to witness somebody that person is a sinner? How do you present to that person you are a sinner? And something very difficult for somebody to grasp is, I'm not a sinner. Don't tell me that. You're trying to tell me that I'm bad? People don't want to hear that. That's why the world will hear the false gospel. They will not hear the true gospel. Nobody wants to hear, I'm bad. If somebody comes and tells you, you know what? You are bad. Would you like to hear? No. Nobody likes to hear that you are bad. You like to hear that you're good. Right? So how? My question is, how are you going to let a person know that person is bad? Where does it say in the Bible that a person is bad. What do you want to do to that? You know, how are you going to show some person that person is bad? A sinner.
This is one thing the church has really violated today, and not preaching what? The law of God.
It's the law of God that shows that we are bad. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. It should be a scripture that is memorized. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. Commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What do you mean by lawlessness? Breaking the law of God. That's how we can show a person that he is a sinner, that he has broken the law of God. So the law should be preached to the sinner. When we go out, we need to tell the people that they have broken the law of God, that they are bad, that they are sinners. The law should be properly preached. What happens is that when the law is preached, it will reveal to men that they are sinners, and it will, you know what the law will do? It will slay their self-righteousness. The word of God is a double-edged sword. It has grace and it has the law. The law will slay their self-righteousness. For this purpose Christ came. He preached the law to the rich young man. If you remember, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. See how Christ, these are examples for us to follow, how Christ preached the law. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And it says here, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now here he comes a man and asks Jesus, how can I receive eternal life? Basically, that's what he's asking. How can I get eternal life? Now, just imagine, if today somebody comes to a Christian, just a general Christian, and asks, you know what? I want to receive eternal life. How can I get? Oh, brother, just say this sinner's prayer. You will receive eternal life. Right? Is that what Jesus did? No. What did Jesus do? He said, verse 17, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. Here Jesus shows the holiness, the majesty of God. But if you want to enter into life, what did he say? Keep the commandments. Then he goes to the Ten Commandments. He said to him, which one? He asked, and Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses, honor your father, honor your mother, you shall not love your neighbor as yourself. What is he saying? Where did he go? He preached the law to this man who came and asked, how can I receive eternal life? So the young man said, oh, Ten Commandments, you know, I got a whole thing at home, you know. He gives all the Ten Commandments. So he said, all these things I have kept since I was a little boy, little girl, I have kept these things. I know the Ten Commandments. I know it's in Exodus chapter 20. I know how to recite them. What did Jesus say? If you want to be perfect, now of course we got to be perfect to go to heaven, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then you can come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away what? Sorrowful. For he had what? Great possession. Here we see this man. He had another God. He has violated the first commandment. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. His money was his God. His possession was his God. And here Jesus exposed the commandments. All right, again, we see the Samaritan woman. You remember the Samaritan woman? How did Jesus expose her? The seventh commandment. She has broken the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And what did Paul say in Romans chapter 7, verse 7? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. Paul said, I would not know sin. I am a sinner. I would not know I'm a bad person if not for the law. It's the law that shows that I'm evil, I'm bad. I don't want to know I'm bad, I want to know I'm good. You know? But it's the law, when the law came, oh my goodness, it's horrible. I don't want to hear. It shows all our filthiness. Paul said, if not for the law, I wouldn't have not known sin. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. He gives us just one example here. So, what does the law do? It will slay your self-righteousness. How many people are preaching the law today to show that they are sinners? I believe very few churches are doing that. What do they say? Oh, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for you. You know, receive Jesus. He'll take care of all your problems. That's what they are preaching. Is that the true gospel? No. That's a false gospel. They cannot, false gospel will make churches packed. The world will hear them very good. They can hear very good, but they will not hear the true gospel because nobody wants to hear, you're a bad person. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, God loves you. Oh, I want to hear that. We were preaching one day, we were going on the street. When I was telling, one of the ladies said, don't scare my neighbors. They want it. So that's what she said. Don't scare my neighbors, okay? When I started to show her the law, she said, don't scare the neighbors. But here is so important to show that we are sinners. Not for the law. We cannot be seen. So man is what? Guilty before God. So man is born in sin, and there's no way that man can be saved by himself. Jeremiah, in the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Jeremiah 13, 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard, can he change his spots? Jeremiah 13, 23. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So, there's no one righteous. The law will show that there's no one righteous. There's no one good. We have all become worthless. And Paul says that the whole world stand guilty before God. Romans 3:10, 9 and 10. So, if we say that we have no sin. If we say that we are good people, everybody is good in this neighborhood. You don't have to come and preach the gospel here. The people are very good people. So if you say that you are good, then you are making God a liar. What does that say? 1 John 1:10. So the first thing we need to ask people is what? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe the Bible, the Word of God? And when people say, yes, I do believe the Word of God, that means you're putting everything on them, the pressure. That means everything what the Word of God says is true. So even if they say, well, I'm not bad, I'm a good person.
let's see the word of God says. Now you said that you believe the word of God. So the word of God says, it says something different. See? But if they say, no, I don't believe the word of God, you cannot talk to them. You cannot give them scripture because they already made up their mind. They will not believe what you're going to say. But if they say they believe the word of God, because a lot of Americans, they do believe the word of God. But the church has presented the gospel in a different way. So here we have a great opportunity to show them the truth. And we have to show them, if we are sinners, that's going to be the punishment. Sinners are going to be punished. There's going to be a judgment one day that is going to come. Hebrews 9:27, a verse that everybody knows, right? Just as man is destined to die once, after death comes what? The judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And we know the result is what? The wrath of God is going to come. It's going to punish the sinners. Where? In hell. And God is not going to compromise with sin. Nahum 1:3. He will not compromise with sin. He will not let the sinners go unpunished. He will not allow the sinners to go unpunished. Nahum 1:3. Because God is... And let us not forget how God expressed His justice during the time of the flood, during Noah's time. Let us not forget how God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Let us not forget how God, we saw that scripture, how God swallowed people in the wilderness, opened the earth and swallowed them. Let us not forget what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. A lot of times we don't see those things. We don't want to read those things. God is just and He will punish the sinners. And so first we need to give the bad news, right? Once they see the bad news, then you get the good news. When they realize how bad they are, that they have nowhere to go. They have been slain by the law of God and they're totally helpless. Then you give them the good news. When you give them the good news, they will embrace God more. Oh, thank you. Really appreciate that. I thought I was lost. I thought I was going to hell. I thought there's no way that I can escape the judgment of God. Then you give them the good news. So what does the law of God do? The law of God, what does it do? It will drive the sinner to Christ. Where does that say? Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. Galatians 3:24. For the law was our schoolmaster. Do you like schoolmasters? Nobody likes schoolmasters. I mean, today the schoolmasters, you cannot say anything to a schoolmaster. Today the schoolmasters, if they don't like the schoolmaster, they're going to shoot them, right? You cannot punish the kids. That's not the schoolmasters before. Schoolmaster was Big Cain. You do something wrong, you get a good caning, right? That's how it was. So when you see the schoolmaster coming with that cane right in front of you with his glasses on, nobody likes the schoolmaster. So the law is what? It's like the schoolmaster. What is the school? It brings us to who? To Christ. That's what it says there. Remember the tax collector who went to pray. He realized that he was broken by the law of God when he realized that he was a sinner. And God said, what? Jesus said, you shall be, this man went to God justified. So what does the law of God do? It will drive the sinner to Christ. And then what the sinner will do is he will repent, right? Then comes repentance. So repentance is the effect of seeing oneself that he is really ruined. He is really guilty before God. He is undone. He is in danger of hell. Repentance is the effect of seeing sin in its true colors. Repentance is not a bodily exercise. It is not raising your hand, right? It is not standing or walking down the aisle. It is an internal thing. It's not an external thing that you got to do. It's an internal thing. It's an inward attitude of the soul rather than outward exercise that you got to do. Then it becomes works. So repentance is what? To leave the sins that we loved before. That is repentance. The sins that we so much loved before, we got to leave them. And show the grievousness of those sins. And then you see how horrible those sins were. Those were the things that was driving me to hell. And see how horrible they are, how bad they are, how deceptive they are. And then you don't do that anymore. You don't love them anymore. You trash it. That is repentance. Have you repented before God? Augustus Toplady said, "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I will die." And how David said, "Against thee only I have sinned." So sinning is how bad I am. You know, a murderer will realize I'm really bad because I killed another man. A thief will realize how bad I am because why? I stole somebody else's things. But we need to see how bad I am, how bad people are, because not in a horizontal way, but in a vertical way. That they have sinned against God. So that's why David says, "Against thee only I have sinned." So the good news is repentance will show my unrighteousness, that I'm saved only by the righteousness of Christ. So the good news is the revelation of what? God's righteousness to the unrighteous, bad sinners. That's the good news. Good news is what? God's righteousness to unrighteous, bad, lawbreakers, sinners. That's the good news. Isn't that what Paul said, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, 16 and 17? Romans 1, 16 and 17. "Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Here is the gospel of Christ. "It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then also for the Greek. For in it," that means in this gospel, "righteousness of God is revealed." See that? Where is this righteousness? In the gospel, you find the righteousness of God. That's the good news. The power of the gospel can bring an unholy man, a drug addict, a drunkard, adulterer, to a saint. That's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel can bring a man who thinks he is good, man who thinks he is okay, as well-standing, good citizen, to show him that he is ruined, naked, miserable before God, that he needs Jesus. That's the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Wow. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is the gospel. This is the good news. So, Jesus came what? We broke the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled all the law. He became our substitute, our representative. He fulfilled the law which we have broken. Jesus satisfied the justice of God with sweat, tears, pain, agony, and blood. He fulfilled the law of God. If somebody comes and, let's see, let's take an example here. If Andy, who is very close to Chris, Chris moves to his new house. Let's see, Andy goes to Chris' house and robs Chris' house. Alright? Takes all the wealth that Chris has and he robs Chris' house. Then Chris says, oh, my house is robbed, and the police comes and they find the fingerprints and they show, here is it, Andy. He's a convicted thief. Andy has been caught by the police. Then Carlos feels sorry for Andy. And Carlos asks, what's the damage? And the police say, $5,000. Carlos has the money. So he gives $5,000 to Chris. Right? Because Chris needs satisfaction. His $5,000 is gone. Somebody has to pay it. And Andy has to pay it. Right? So Carlos feels sorry for Chris. He's like, oh, Chris, I feel, you know, sorry for Andy. So here, I'll give the money, $5,000, to Carlos. Right? And Chris takes the $5,000. But does that mean now Andy is okay? That he's free? Huh? Of course not. Andy needs to be punished, right? He needs punishment. Now that's what Jesus did. Not only he paid the price with his own blood for us, he was punished. Jesus was punished. For what? For the crimes that we had done. Jesus not only, you understand the whole story here? Jesus was totally, brutally beaten and crucified because there was punishment required too for the crime that was done. And Jesus took that punishment. Not only paid the price, he bought us with his own ransom, with his own blood, not with silver or gold, but he was punished. That's what Jesus did. He became our representative when we broke the law of God. Jesus said, my food is to do what? The will of the Father. Remember the Samaritan woman, when Jesus was witnessing the disciples, they went to get some food, right? And when the disciples came, they were surprised. Jesus is talking to this woman, this adulterous woman. And they said, here's your food. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. What? For winning a soul. And this is the gospel. The gospel is that Christ's righteousness been imputed to us, to worthless sinners. That's the gospel. God made him who had no sin for us, right? In him we might become the righteousness of God. And just want to show you that John Bunyan, you know, when he was 9 years old, he said, this is when he was 9 years old, also I should at these years be greatly afflicted and troubled with the thoughts of the day of judgment. And both night and day, and should tremble of the thoughts of the fearful torments of hell and fire. And he was so scared. When he was 9 years old, he was thinking about the judgment of God that is going to come. How about today's children when they are 9? Oh, I got a lot of time to enjoy. And here, see, there got to be a fear of God. And it is so what? gospel is only by grace alone. We are saved by grace alone. Nothing else. God's grace. And we don't deserve it. Only through the righteousness of God. And I just want to end this with the song we are going to sing at the end. Alright? It talks about the... this is by Augustus Toplady. And I really want you to... when you sing this song, I want you to really get into it, what it really means, because there's so much theology in this song. So much doctrine is full. There's so much richness in this song. It says here, fountains of never-ceasing grace, thy saints' exaltless theme, great objects of immortal praise, essentially supreme, we bless thee for the glorious fruit thine incarnation gives, the righteousness which grace imputes and faith alone receives. Wow. Heavy words. Whom heaven's angelic host adores was slaughtered for our sin. The guilt, O Lord, was wholly ours. The punishment was thine. You see, the guilt was ours, but you took the punishment. Our God in the flesh to set us free was manifested here and meekly bear our sins that we His righteousness might wear. You see the whole gospel here. Imputedly guilty, then our substitute was made. He became our substitute when we the blessing might obtain for which His blood was shed. Himself He offered on the cross our sorrows to remove. And He shall, and all He suffered for us, and all He did was love. In Him we have what? Righteousness. We see the righteousness that was imputed to us. By God Himself approved our rock, our sure foundation this, which never can be moved. Our ransom by His death He paid, for all His people giving the law He perfectly obeyed, that they might enter heaven. Wow. How can we enter heaven? Because Christ obeyed the law. As all when Adam sinned alone in his transgression died, we see that is Romans 5:12, so by the righteousness of one are sinners justified, we to thy merit, gracious Lord, with humblest joy submit, against to paradise restored in thee alone complete. Our souls His watchful love retrieves, nor let them go astray. His righteousness to us He gives, and take away, and take our sins away. We claim salvation in His right, adopted and forgiven. His merit is our robe of life, His death the gate of heaven. It's not our merit. It's His. Everything is of His. It's His. This is me. So, remember that how we need today, we need to wake up. Our souls needs to be stirred with what? Even for Christians, the law is good today, right? If we say, well, I'm a Christian now, I saw that the law showed that I'm a sinner, alright, now I don't need the law anymore, I'll read only the New Testament. Right? No. Even to us. Because why? Because we are walking still, we are in this tent of flesh, right? There's still this fleshly desires, fleshly appetites, greediness, is still there in us. This covetousness is still there. Disobedience is still there. So we need the law. What does the law do? It's law. The word of God is what? It's pure and holy. It will convert the soul. And it also, it's the word of God is like, its law is like a light. It will guide us. It will show us what is wrong and what is right. Now, if we are doing something wrong, we say, oh, the law, the schoolmaster is still there and show us, oh, you are doing something wrong. This is the way. So the law is good still. And we cannot take away the law of God. What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will disappear, but my law will be there. Okay?
It's going to be there. The law is going to be there. Jesus fulfilled the law, and as long as we live, we got to, the law should be there. It will show us. It will bring what? The fear of God. Right? That's why. Because today, say, oh brother, we are saved by grace. Those are all legalism. We don't want all that stuff. So they can enjoy and be merry, happy, and Christ is good, God loves you, He's really good. That kind of a gospel that has been given today. And no wonder the church is in so much sin. There's no fear of God at all. People live without any fear. Because we have heard a different gospel. That gospel will not bring true repentance or holy living before God. That's why God shook the early church with the death of Ananias and Sapphira. When that death came, what happened? The whole church was seized with fear. Right? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We ask, Lord God Almighty, of what we heard today, Lord, that we will really practice and give us a deep thirst and a desire, Lord, for your word and to walk according to your word. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, that we would meditate upon your word, where we will feed our souls with your word, Lord, because this flesh always wants to take authority. Flesh always desires to sin and to enjoy sin and to have the pleasures of sin. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, this battle will continue until we die. It's a war that is going within us, as Apostle Paul said, the war, the flesh and the spirit wars within in us. Father, but we praise you, we thank you, Lord, that you have won the war, that you have redeemed us by the precious Lord through Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would not walk according to the flesh, but that we will walk according to the Spirit, that we will crucify this flesh daily, every single day, that we will crucify this flesh, and that we will see our weaknesses, and when we see the weaknesses, we will pray and ask that you to forgive us, Lord, and that we will work in our salvation with fear and trembling before you, Lord. So, Father, that it's all because of what you have done on the cross. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, that we would walk in fear and reverence to your word, Lord. That we would exalt your name, magnify your name, that we can truly worship you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing this song. Let's stand.